Wings of Chaos.
Since chapter 22 is a longer chapter, I've broken it into two parts. This is part one of chapter 22.
Chapter 22, A Second Spellbook. Shayla woke in darkness, her head fuzzy and her body aching. She could hear an annoying thumping noise. Was that what woke her? Thump, thump, thump. Hey, a man's voice came from outside a door, just visible as Shayla's eyes grew accustomed to the dark. Quiet in there.
Ozarin?
Shayla wondered. Her hands and feet were bound, and she was curled on a dirt floor inside a small room with a few stacked empty crates. The walls were made of wood, and the thumping was coming from one of them. It stopped now, and Shale shouted the warlock's name. Ozarin! She'd seen him coming back for her just before she was knocked unconscious by Asbara's guards. What had she been thinking? Had they all been captured? She hadn't seen the others. I said be quiet! The guard shouted, this time slamming a fist into her door. She only heard muffled words coming from the wall. She guessed it might have been Ozarin, but it was difficult to hear. She went quiet, examining the room more carefully. She tried to sit up against the wall, which was difficult with her hands tied behind her back. She slipped her arms under her feet until they were in front of her, then started working at the bonds. They were tight. She tried to push her thumbs in as far as she could, even willing to break them, but the way she was bound didn't give enough leverage. She swore in frustration. If she could get one of the guards in there to speak with her, she could try to use her fog cloud again to escape through the door. What do you plan to do with us? Shale demanded loudly, slamming her shoulder into the wall repeatedly. Come in here and face me. A moment later, the guard, a young man in dark clothing and leather armor, threw open the door and snarled at her. I told you to be quiet. There was a ferocious cruelty in the young man's eyes, too young for such anger. Shale tried to splay her fingers through the ropes to cast her fog cloud, but she couldn't wiggle them free enough. Come on, come on, she thought desperately, but the spell was ineffective. Talking, then. Where are we? What are you going to do with us? Without saying anything, the guard drew his sword and strode over to her, holding the point to her face. She looked at him without blinking, unfeeling. Then he raised it and slammed the butt of his sword into the side of her head. Instant darkness. Reverend saw Keelan standing beside Trigger near the entrance of the inn, the thick armored man scratching the fox nervously behind the ear. He straightened when he saw the tiefling and said, I'm glad to see you're all right. I was about to go searching for you. Reverend sighed and rubbed his eyes, leaning against the wall of the inn next to the paladin. This is bad. Keelan nodded his agreement. What if they get Ozarin and Shale to talk? He looked down at the fox, who was rubbing against Keelan's legs. Could the animal sense the loss of its master? We can't risk them being tortured and giving away our secrets. I trust them, Keelan said. This isn't about trust, Reverend shook his head. The Red Wizard has magic. He can make them talk. Keelan stared out at the street, which was sparsely populated with people going about their business with carts or wagons of supplies. It was a working day for most. We may have to kill them, Reverend said seriously in the silence that followed. Keelan looked at him. It was difficult to see behind the paladin's eyes without using his new amulet. We need to send a message to Whisper and Philip, Keelan told him, bending to pet Trigger again. All right, Reverend said, but we should find them in person. I'm worried the cult may be looking to intercept messages. Keelan locked the fox in the stables, very much to the dismay of the tiny animal, who yelped and whined as they strode away. Our first priority is to save them, Keelan said, feeling guilty for leaving them behind in the warehouse. Reverend sighed again. Shale has taken leave of her senses. There may be nothing left to save. Are you willing to do what needs to be done? Reverend demanded of Whisper and Philip. They'd found Philip in the castle ward's open market, selling spices and looking cheery, wearing a fake mustache and an absurd amount of eye makeup. They'd filled the druid in on everything that happened, then taken him to the academy to find Whisper. Philip sold the rest of his spices to their kitchens while they tracked down the Tabaxi and told him of Shale and Ozrin's capture. As they walked back to the inn together, Reverence warned them of a fallback to their plans. Philip grimaced.
I don't want to kill them. They're our friends.
Reverence looked over at Whisper, who was looking thoughtful, but said nothing.
We should remain optimistic, Philip continued. If they're not dead, then the cult wants them alive.
That's what should concern us. Reverence shook his head. They could give them everything.
Philip shrugged. What's there to give away? We've done a shit job at infiltrating the cult so far anyways.
Whisper looked at the half-elf indignantly. Philip raised an apologetic hand to him.
You're right. We can't kill them,
the tiefling lied, pretending to drop it. He knew what he might have to do. Shale felt a magical presence reaching into her mind as she awoke the second time in darkness. She couldn't be sure how much time had passed. The presence pushed against her will insistently, and she pushed back. The effort drew sweat from her brow. A few minutes later, she heard Asvara outside her door.
They both resisted the spell. I suppose we'll have to do this the old-fashioned way.
There were movements at the door and the sound of scraping wood. Shale breathed in and pushed herself back up against the wall, awaiting the worst. She heard a conversation in Draconic, shouting, confusion, a demand? A new voice, a voice Shale knew.
Whisper? I deserve right to kill her,
the Tabaxi said in common. He was right outside her door now.
Then I won't bar your chance, Asvara said smoothly. Move aside.
The door opened, and the Tabaxi walked inside, two guards behind him. He conjured a staff in one hand and swatted her over the head with it. Shale threw up her arms to block the blow. There were muffled shouts in the room adjacent. It was Ozrin yelling. Asvara turned from Whisper and Shale and shouted at a guard.
Quiet him.
A moment later, the guard shouted to another.
Get over here. The half-elf's gone.
What do you mean he's gone?
Asvara demanded, stepping out of sight and shoving a man aside. Whisper glanced down at Shale and, with a pointed look, conjured a small dagger in his hand and dropped it in the dirt in front of her. He nodded subtly, and she inched her feet over the dagger to cover it, as the Tabaxi turned and walked out, slamming the door behind him.
What happened?
She heard the Tabaxi demand.
Idiots, Asvara swore. He's obviously gone invisible. Check everywhere. Lock the doors. Don't let anyone leave.
Find him,
Whisper commanded. There was a commotion outside the door, but Shale was already picking up the dagger and sawing at her ropes, cutting her hands free, then ripping the ties off her legs and standing, dagger in hand.
You two stand guard over the woman,
Shale heard the Red Wizard say, and she could see the shadow of 4 feet under the door. The ranger started testing the walls for weaknesses, wondering how she would get out of the warehouse alive, and what her friends had planned.
Is it just me, or is that rat staring at us weird?
The guard said, tilting his ugly head down at the little brown rodent that watched them.
Step on it, the other one said. I hate rats.
The first nodded and stomped a boot at the rat as it scurried away, but the man was faster. He caught its tail underfoot, and with a sudden flash, the rat tail disappeared, and the rodent transformed into a crouching half-elf with long, silvery hair and a wry smile on his face. Philip leapt to his feet and punched the guard square in the nose, then spun on the spot and transformed back into a rat before the other man could react, summoning two great bears next to him. The guard, grabbing his bleeding face in complete shock, now stumbled back as one of the bears swatted a massive paw in his direction.
What the?
There was a loud, smashing clatter as a pile of pots and pans fell from seemingly nowhere and crashed onto the ground, scattering across the dirt and drawing a few of the confused guards, who had also just noticed the two bears.
What in the nine hells is going on?
A worker whined, backing away and dropping the crate he'd been carrying. Several of the other workers stumbled away, trying to get through the doors, which had been locked. Many of them pressed against the walls, trying to stay away from the conflict. There was an earth-rumbling roar from one of the offices. The dirt floor vibrated. Something hard was slamming against the wall. Keelan, who stood outside, watched in surprise as suddenly, a massive hole appeared in the side of the warehouse and a piece of the wall exploded in splinters of wood, followed by a huge stone fist.
Ozrin?
Keelan said in surprise. Ozrin stood with a crushed yellow gem in one hand, with his and Shale's packs and weapons over his other shoulder. Next to him, and towering several feet above him, was an earth elemental with stone flesh and potato features. It blinked, and Keelan could see Ozarin's eyes were yellow and clouded. He was commanding the elemental. The giant creature turned and burrowed into the earth, leaving behind a huge hole.
"Where is he going?"
Keelan asked, but a second later, he saw exactly where. Shale fell backwards into the opposite wall as the dirt ground beneath her exploded, and a giant stone face appeared through a hole and smiled up at her. She shouted in surprise and backed against the wall. It then proceeded to crawl up, dirt sloughing off its form, and turned to the outer wall and punched it until it cracked and opened up. "Thanks, buddy," she breathed after the initial shock wore off. The elemental gave an ugly grin and dove back into its hole. Shale jumped through the wall and landed outside, looking over to see Keelan and Ozarin standing there. Ozarin had started the wall on fire. His eyes shimmered from yellow back to white, and he smiled and tossed her pack to her. She grabbed it. "Ozarin, I... Leda," he said, holding up a hand and pointing the other to another section of the wall and releasing a second bout of fire. "How did you get out?"
"Turned invisible," he grinned, "then snuck out when they opened the door to my room."
She took her swords, bow, and quiver quickly and strapped them on, watching the fire burn.
"What now?" Keelan asked, and Shale shook her head, unsure.
"Do we run? Who else is inside?" she said. "I only saw Whisper, and they think he's one of them."
"Philip went in as a rat. Reverence was on the roof last I saw."
Keelan eyed her more closely.
"Here, let me heal you. You're barely on your feet."
Shale felt instant relief as the paladin put a hand on her shoulder and healed the wounds she'd received upon capture.
"Thanks," she breathed.
"Look at that. Philip brought his bears to the fight. I have the elemental in there distracting them."
"Oh, looks like they killed Philip's bears already,"
Ozarin said, eyes back to yellow.
"All right, let's punch Asbara really hard in the face."
Asbara crawled out of the crater in the ground, clutching his broken ribs and wheezing. He took a few unsteady steps back as his guards ran in to crowd around the massive earth elemental, their weapons doing very little to the stony creature. With a shaky wave of his hand, he felt mist swirl around his legs and he ran for the door, which had been thrown open by the workers trying to escape. The spell took him out the door in a blur of speed, and he didn't slow until he was in amongst the crowd in the street. Many were onlookers headed home after a day's work, pausing to see the fires and hear the roars of the elemental inside the warehouse. Asbara, still holding his side with a pained expression, limped away through the crowd, being swallowed by the people. Whisper turned from the elemental as he saw Asbara slide away in his misty step and enter the crowd of people. The tabaxi ran after him and raised a paw. An explosion of fire shook the earth, and there were terrified screams as several people were thrown back, others charred and smoking, dead instantly. The target, Asbara himself, was thrown forward off his feet as the fire hit, and was now crawling up from the ground as the crowd pushed back away from it all. Those that could, anyways. Whisper waved his paw until mist swirled under him, and he shot forward so he stood in front of Asbara, tilting his head at the red wizard, who was bleeding from a gash in his forehead and breathing heavily.
"You,"
Asbara said accusingly, eyes shifting as he looked for an escape through the crowd, which had now made a good distance between them. Reverence sprinted from around the warehouse, Philip jumping from his shoulders and transforming back into a half-elf and summoning two bears into existence, to stand behind Asbara, growling to keep him from running. Reverence ran, jumped, and tried to kick the wizard's legs from under him, but the mist still swirled under his legs and he dodged. The monk used his momentum to skid through the dirt and pivot, planting a firm punch into the man's shoulder, locking him in place with a quick stunning spell. Asbara breathed a sharp intake of breath as all his limbs stiffened. The rest of the cultist guards ran through the front of the warehouse to see the gathered crowd as they fled the earth elemental inside.
"Must kill,"
Whisper said firmly, and Philip nodded from behind him. Whisper glanced down at the wizard's bag, where his spellbook was sure to be. One of Philip's bears stood on its haunches and pulled the frozen Asbara down, ripping out his throat with its teeth and leaving a growing pool of blood in the dirt. The red wizard twitched and gasped as his lifeblood seeped from him, his hood falling back to reveal his bald head and lifeless blue eyes. Philip turned his bears to the fleeing guards, and the men stopped near the entrance, unsure of what to do. Whisper strode over the five blackened bodies and stopped over the Red Wizard's corpse, ripping the spellbook from his satchel, which was now stained with blood. With a quick wave of his hand, the blood vanished. He stroked the black leather cover lovingly, then shoved it into his own bag before looking around at the horrified faces. There was a collective sound of swords being drawn, and at least a dozen men in uniform pushed through the crowd. One pushed through ahead the rest and shouted, "Stop this! Drop your weapons!" The city guard had arrived. Shale grabbed Keelan's arm as they rounded the corner and saw the city guard surrounding Philip, Whisper, and Reverence, all of whom stood over several fallen bodies, some of them burned. She noticed the Red Wizard's crimson robes. Asbara was dead then. Whisper was standing strangely as well, as if frozen, and Reverence was looking at him imposingly. Had the tiefling done something to Whisper? He looked stunned. She could hear Reverence growling, "What in the nine hells did you do, Whisper? Where is your conscience?" Philip spoke up, gesturing to Asbara's body.
"Gentlemen, I implore you. This man plotted to destroy your city. Look inside for the evidence."
Shale knew they needed to leave. "Let's go," she hissed before they could hear the rest of Philip's speech, and the two of them ran in the opposite direction, hoods up and looking for cover. Ozarin turned to look at them as his elemental crawled through the hole in the wall and dropped a crate in front of the warlock, which smashed upon impact, littering the ground with roadworking supplies.
"Damn, no gold."
Then waved a hand, and the elemental disappeared. The warlock drew up his own hood and trotted after Shale and Keelan.
"What's happening? What did I miss?"
Philip sent his bears into the warehouse, where they zipped out of existence, and in the confusion of the other cultists dropping their weapons, Reverence pushed past Philip and Whisper and bolted. Whisper stirred, the stunning strike dealt to him by the monk wearing off, and he too ran. The tabaxi fled into the warehouse and presumably out the other side. The captain of the guard started shouting orders.
"Find them! Hells, don't let them get away! We need them all for questioning!"
Some of the city watch ran after Reverence and Whisper, others starting to call for buckets of water to put out the fires, and some who looked to be their healers came forth and assessed the burned bodies Whisper had left behind. Dozens of innocents were injured by the explosions. Five were dead besides the Red Wizard, not to mention the cultists inside who'd been hit by the earth elemental Ozarin summoned.
"Don't let anyone leave," the captain barked, pointing to the innocent bystanders.
Many had fled, but there were many others who'd been too terrified to run. Philip knelt, dirtying his trousers in the loose dust, and raised his hands in surrender, his false mustache twitching on his upper lip.
"I surrender,"
the druid declared to the captain, a rugged man with handsome gray features.
"Though I am innocent in this."
"We'll see about that," the captain said as the two men grabbed his arms and pulled them behind his back, lifting him to his feet. "Take him to the outpost," he ordered, and Philip was escorted away, the burning warehouse to his back. Listening to Wings of Chaos, written by Alexis Fienendahl and based on the Horde of the Dragon Queen D&D campaign. For more stories written by me, visit the link in my show notes. Thanks so much for listening.